This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last. I'll share something personal with you on this pandemic.news update for, what is it, March 17th. The number of deaths in America has surpassed 100. The number of infections is over 5,000, way past 5,000. I've had to disconnect from some former friends. I've lost friends over this. You may have too. Remember how the 2016 election, friendships were split apart and even families were split apart. Some people were Trump, some people were Clinton. Now we're seeing a similar thing with this coronavirus. Everybody's emotions are really heightened. And I've had to cut off people who are convinced that this entire thing is a grand hoax. And this is happening in the conservative movement now. Conservative publishers like the Gateway Pundit is saying it's a sham, it's a hoax, that it's no more dangerous than the seasonal flu. You've got guests coming on InfoWars who are convinced that it's no big deal, not even real. You've got Rush Limbaugh out there saying it's no worse than the flu. So a lot of conservatives, prominent conservatives, who are saying that this is all mass hysteria by the left-wing media and that it's not even real. And so I wanted to address that today. There's some alternate theories, too, about the origins of this virus that I cover in another podcast. Some people say that this has actually been in the population for years, that it was originally spread during the flu vaccines of earlier years and so on. I get to that in another podcast. That gets pretty complex. That gets pretty deep. But in terms of what we really know right now, or maybe the questions we should be asking right now, the question I ask is kind of a common sense question. All right, if this were a global hoax, how could the hoaxers sign up 100 countries to carry out this hoax, including Iran and Italy and Taiwan and Singapore and France and Germany and Spain and the UK and on, Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, Malaysia, whatever. You go all around the world, wherever this thing is, and it's just about everywhere now. It's in sub-Saharan Africa. How do you sign up 100 plus countries to carry out this hoax? See, just right off the bat, I think that's impossible. You're never going to get Iran and Italy and Taiwan and China to all sit down at the same table and agree to carry out a grand hoax. And secondly, what about all the dead bodies? So we've got stories coming out of Italy, northern Italy especially, of doctors and nurses crying and begging for help and telling us about how their hospitals are overrun and the system is collapsing and people are dying and they're making triage decisions now. The death rate is just going sky high, sometimes hundreds of Italians dying in a 24-hour period. Is that faked too? Is that faked too? How could you fake thousands of deaths? I mean, I know that there, some of you listening are like, well, they faked the deaths in this event or this historical thing or this shooting and this and that. Okay, maybe, but those are smaller numbers. How do you fake 7,000 deaths across 100 countries, roughly? How do you do that? How do you coordinate that? Who's coordinating it? See, I don't think you can get all these countries to sign up for some giant theatrical production like that. I don't think these deaths are faked. In fact, why would countries like China shut down their entire economy to such an extent that it threatens the very existence of the communist regime? I mean, we see the satellite imagery. We know the pollution levels have plummeted. We know that factories are shut down. We know that raw materials are not being consumed, like copper. We see the plummeting fuel production, the plummeting demand for fuel. Why would China do that to themselves? To what end? Now, I know, I hear some of you saying, well, China wants to depopulate its own country, you might say. Okay, valid point. Maybe the whole world wants to depopulate the whole world, get rid of old people. Maybe every government's on the verge of bankruptcy and wants to eliminate people who collect Social Security or similar entitlements. Okay, that's a very valid point. Actually, I've kind of made the same argument on other subjects in previous podcasts. Yes, every government is broke. But could they fake the deaths of these thousands of people? Could they fake the hospitals being overrun? I mean, I think they... surely the people that are dying in Italy have family members who can confirm that they're really dying. How do you fake... how many deaths is it in Italy now? It's over 1,000. How do you fake over 1,000 deaths in Italy and soon to be 10,000? I don't think... I can't really see a scenario where it's possible to fake all that. And then what about the markets? The financial markets. You know, the global has had a pretty good thing going, a pretty good racket of global debt and central banks. And they were just wheeling, dealing and making money off everybody and collecting gold and silver and currency. Well, all that's about to collapse. Markets have plunged. Some countries have closed their markets, like the Philippines. Just close it. Like, you can't buy or sell anything. We're going to see mass unemployment across America. And in China, their economy has absolutely imploded because of this. They're not going to meet their, what was it, their 10-year GDP goals or whatever President Emperor Xi had set out. Going to miss that mark. Why would Italy collapse its economy? Why would any country collapse all their tourism industries? You know, tourism is big. All throughout Asia, you know, Australia, New Zealand, big tourism industry. Why would they announce infections and in many cases deaths, knowing that it would collapse their tourism industry? Why would they do that to themselves? I mean, think about it. What motivation does New Zealand have to fake all this? And maybe you say, well, depopulation in New Zealand too. Okay, maybe so. Maybe you're right. If so, this is the most elaborate, most amazing global hoax, if that's what you think it is, that has ever been pulled off. It would require tens of thousands of bureaucrats to all be in on it with no leaks. So I'm not sure that that could happen. I'm not sure there must be an email, a memo, a document somewhere telling everybody what to do. That thing hasn't been leaked. Surely we would have seen some document by now on WikiLeaks, if nothing else. But no, nothing's been leaked. So where are all the commands that people have been given? Was there a secret meeting somewhere where they just wrote notes on, like, etch-a-sketches so they could erase them later by shaking them? You know, how could all these countries have the same orders, I guess from some globalist somewhere, or Dr. Evil? And then how could they carry out all those orders and not one of them leaks this? Not one of them says no. You know, the far simpler explanation is that this is a biological weapon that escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was released on purpose. I'm kind of leaning towards the deliberate release model at this point. But who knows? Maybe it was an accident. It certainly didn't come from bats. Didn't come out of the seafood market, which has no bats in it, by the way. It has just seafood, which is why it's called a seafood market. So this thing was engineered. It was engineered as a biological weapon. We know that the U.S. has bioweapons programs. We know about Fort Detrick. We know about the history of studying Ebola and the accidental releases of Ebola in Fort Detrick, by the way. That's covered in the Richard Preston book, Hot Zone. We know about the accidental releases of SARS in China. So the simplest explanation, Occam's razor, is that this is a biological weapon that got loose in China, and then it spread. And then every country around the world decided differently how it's going to deal with it. And Asian nations, because they had experience with SARS, they dealt with it expertly. Taiwan did an incredible job. Singapore did a great job. Well, because it's kind of a police state every day. So they had a lot of control over their people. Hong Kong did a good job, very tightly controlled city there, relatively easy to control compared to America or Australia, for example. Australia is a huge continent, huge country. People forget that. It's hard to, you know, lock down a country like Australia because there's so much empty space and long distances between the cities, a lot of mobility in a place like Australia. And then there's all the migrant waves from the Middle East into Western Europe and all the infections in Western Europe. And Western Europe, because they wanted to have open borders in order to be politically correct, they did not handle this correctly. And now Western Europe is being overrun by the virus. And now in America, we are just now seeing the beginning of what has struck Europe. And America has so far dealt with this very poorly. No tests available from the CDC for almost a month, right? A lot of denialism policies that don't test people unless they show symptoms. So we're not testing asymptomatic carriers. No ban of commercial air traffic. So it's still spreading through airlines and airplanes all across America and so on and so forth. Bad policies. Now, Trump has done some good things, made some good decisions, banning flights from Europe, for example, banning Chinese nationals early on. He's done some good things that have helped slow the spread. But it's not enough, not yet. So now here we sit on the verge of this pandemic outbreak that's threatening the whole world. Stock market's crashing like crazy. People are freaking out everywhere. Suddenly everybody wants to be a prepper, but they don't know how, so they're buying toilet paper. That's a wake-up call right there. If you see your neighbors at the grocery store stocking up on toilet paper, that's kind of a sign you might want to bug out. How long is it going to take your neighbor to figure out they didn't buy food? I don't know. Probably not that long. Maybe they can eat the toilet paper. But here we are on the verge of all this, and every country has responded differently. Some countries poorly, some countries with a great deal of proficiency. And yet, right now, because the death rate has not yet matched the flu death rate here in America, I still get calls and texts from people who say, this whole thing isn't real. Nobody's died. The tests aren't real. There is no virus. They say the whole world is making it up. And essentially, you're bad for talking about this as if it's real. Right. I get that from people. Well, former people, I should say. Former friends. And this is the kind of thing that builds character. This is the kind of thing where you ask yourself, do I have integrity in my position? Do I go with what's popular, or do I stand up for the conclusions that follow from the research and the mathematics and the epidemiological models? And so what I've done is I'm sticking with my projections. I'm sticking with my positions. I'm not going to give in to the, I guess now popular belief that says this entire thing is somehow a hoax. I'm still not buying that. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. If it were only in one country, you could kind of argue that. If it's in 100 countries, forget it. They can't be hoaxing this all over the world. People are really dying all over the world. And the numbers are about to get crazy. We know what the models, we know the math here. We can project this. It's going to get bad. Millions will likely die around the world in the end. And right now, far less than 1% of the population is so far infected. This has only just begun. Far less than 1%. So I'm sticking with my projections. I'm exploring other possibilities, but something's got to really add up for me. For me to adjust my position, I need good evidence. I need consistent evidence. I need something that's congruent with logic and reason, not just random theories. That could be this, could be that, could be, I don't know, gamma rays from space. I mean, we need to be careful in our thinking here so that we follow the evidence as best we can. I don't claim to be perfect in this. But you know what? The number of deaths that's been reported each day in America has been tracking my pandemic projection model very closely, except that the actual number of deaths is higher. So in other words, it's a similar curve as my projections, but my projections were low consistently by about 20 to 25%, which tells me that my process of thinking about this has so far been correct, But I downplayed it. I was overly optimistic in the projections. The real numbers are far worse than what I had said, than what I thought. Nevertheless, it's of little consequence, given that this thing is doubling really about every 3.5 days, roughly. Me being off by 20% is only a matter of about a day. So my numbers are off by about one day, which is pretty damn good. I don't think anybody else in the world has published projections that are off by only about a day. In fact, there isn't anyone else. So the question is, how far do we go in this projection model before things start to get better? Because now we have very aggressive social distancing factors that have been put into place, which is how you stop this thing. That's how you do it. Now, I've got people accusing me of calling for martial law. First of all, I never called for martial law. I did say we have to have aggressive social distancing factors. I did say Trump's going to have to cancel all domestic air flights and probably block the roads. We're going to have a lockdown to stop the spread. And that's Trump's choice, but that's what the math shows. If you don't have isolation and lockdowns, then you don't stop the spread. If you do have isolations and lockdowns, then the spread stops within, you could say, 4 weeks to 8 weeks, something in that range. I'm not sure what the right number of weeks is, but it does work. And I know there are a lot of people out there with theories that are saying, no, man, the lockdown is the plan. They're saying the whole thing is a hoax and they're just trying to get you to agree to the lockdown. They're trying to enslave you, man. And so I guess those people, they really don't trust Trump at all because they think that Trump is going to declare himself a dictator over martial law rule and we will never emerge from a lockdown mode. Now, I can understand if Hillary Clinton were president, I can understand that argument. But with Trump as president, believe me, Trump has no interest in being your dictator. In fact, he probably can't wait to get out of the White House after his second term. Trump wants to get in and out of this thing as quickly as possible, restore America as quickly as possible, restore the stock market, and have elections on time and all this. Trump does not want to rule over you for years in your home where you're a slave to the Trump king. Believe me, he's got no interest in that. So I don't know why everybody thinks Trump wants to be your supreme leader. He's got no interest in being your dictator. So, folks, I would say my best advice right now, based on what I'm seeing, is number one, get your preps in order, chill, hunker down for a month or 2 months or whatever the president asks for. Trump is doing the right thing right now by calling for us to stop our social gatherings. You know, be responsible. Isolate yourself if you can. Don't be a carrier. Don't spread it to other people. Don't do your beach gathering, all you spring break students at the University of Florida who are already infected, by the way. Just chill out. Read a freaking book. Read some books. Catch up on that reading that you haven't done. And we will get through this. And America will not be a slave state in 2 months. We're going to emerge from this. We're going to be able to fly again and drive again and go to your gay rave party again or whatever it is that you do. All that's going to come back, but we have to endure some time here. I don't think that this is the end of human freedom. I think this is a temporary situation where we're going to have to suffer for a temporary period of time in order to stop the cycle of replication of this virus, which is real. And when that cycle is broken, we will all be able to get back to what are mostly pathetic lives anyway, by the way, across the world, just consumerism, materialism, pointless zombieism, sleepwalking through life, but whatever. All the people are going to be able to get back to their pointless lives very soon so they can carry on to do pointless things that they can't wait to do, whatever. I'm not concerned that I'm going to lose my liberty over this. If I have to hunker down for a month, I'm willing to do it. I don't think Trump is going to send men in black to come disappear me in the middle of this lockdown. No, I'm just going to be at my ranch with my chickens and my goats and my donkeys, probably enjoying life as best I can, as we should all do, spend time with families, maybe do a little organizing around the home, maybe boost up your fitness routine. We'll all have time to do push-ups and sit-ups. I'm not joking. Use the time wisely. Yeah, you might run out of money. I hear that Trump is going to have the Federal Reserve fly helicopters across the entire country and just drop $100 bills everywhere. So that's coming, which is insane, but whatever. But we're going to get through this, and no, this isn't the end of your freedom. This is just us agreeing to lock down, to isolate, to have social distancing for a period of time so that we can kick this virus's ass and get back to pathetic society as usual. How about that? There, that's the sinister, sarcastic view for you. If I'm wrong, then it will become apparent quickly. If you think this is all turning into a giant, horrible police state and people are being silently executed all across America, then that they won't be able to cover that up for very long. And you should take appropriate action. I certainly would in that case. But look, I know a lot of people in the military. I know a lot of people in like Homeland Security and law enforcement and special forces. And all these people, you know what they're telling me right now? They're saying, we want to bug out with you, Mike. We want to bug out with you. But none of them are saying, oh yeah, there's a big order coming down to kill patriots or something. That is not happening. There's not some order coming down like that. No one's visited me to ask me, you know, no one's handed me a set of secret plans to be part of anything. This is probably just going to be the most boring couple of months ever in your life. And then we're going to get back to normal. That's probably where this is going. And yeah, we're going to lose probably tens of thousands of people, but it's much better than millions, which is where this was headed. So for those of you who say, oh, there's no big deal, we should ignore it, just go out and party and go to your bars and do all the social events, well, then you're going to lose millions of people. And that's not a very acceptable outcome, because how can you have a good functioning economy if you lose millions of people? And it's not just old people. People who are working age, people 30s and 40s and 50s as well. People are working into their 60s too. You're losing good working people. And Trump doesn't want that. Trump wants America to get through this and recover the economy and the stock market. That's what Trump wants. He doesn't want to rule you. Frankly, for most people, nobody wants to rule you. Okay? No one has any interest in your life except you. That's probably true for me too. No one wants to rule my life. They're busy with their own mostly pathetic lives. So there you go. That's my take on it. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, pandemic.news. Chill out, everybody. Prepare to buckle down. Get your preps ready. We're going to get through this. And know the chapter of human freedom is not coming to an end. We will get through this. Thanks for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a two-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com slash Prep with Mike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger Store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.